Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Same, thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, my buddy, my pal, how was your 4th of July? How have you been? What's been going on?
Well, I had the 4th of July off work, and I started the day very patriotic and mowed the yard, because what's more American than mowing your yard?
Were you eating apple pie while you did it?
No. But then I turned myself into a walking hive, so I stayed home and took Benadryl and Sudafed so that I could breathe.
Oh, those
How about
allergies,
you? What'd you do?
Those allergies just will not leave you alone, man.
I'm over it.
Well, for 4th of July, what did we do? During the day, we ran some errands, did some cleaning, stuff like that. Then we all took a nap, which was nice. Usually, like, my wife is not like a big nap person, but over this holiday weekend, she's been like, let's take a nap. We have 3 days. So it's been nice for me. But then we had some family come over and we weren't going to do fireworks this year. We just got some sparklers for the kids and like some of the snaps you throw at the ground, stuff like that. Cause where we live, you've been here, but on our driveway, you can see like the city that we live in, their fireworks come up over the trees. And then you can see the Nashville fireworks like way out in the distance. And then everybody's just kind of lighting them around you. So we just sat out in the driveway and hung out and watched fireworks go off. And I had a couple of beers. People were making fun of me in the Facebook group.
Still drinking your beers.
I have my Lining Kugel Summer Shandy if they want to.
It's a great one.
Sponsor the podcast at all.
Hey, so, I got a few in my fridge.
Hey. I'm developing a problem, so, you know, pay me for it. That's all I'm asking. Well, I'm glad that, you know, your allergies seem to be on the other side. I know we're both still sniffling and stuff like that, but you're not a giant hive, which is good.
I think I'm just not even going to excuse the sound of my voice anymore. Like, it's going to be a surprise. You either get well, Olivia, or you get congested, lovely man voice, Olivia. So, surprise, surprise.
And I'm Olivia Cordu. Got my allergies going. No, you'll probably sound like this until winter. And then you'll be like, it's so dry. Everything's so dry.
My PSA will always stand. Don't do allergy shots.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
my own personal opinion, but it's mine.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, hopefully the rest of the long weekend's been good. I got to take Millie to the splash pad today. So we, you know, played around the water and hung out and stuff like that. But
it was fun. Yeah. I had to work this weekend, but yeah. That was fine.
Well, you know, 2 weeks are going to be here and we're going to be partying at Coldplay.
Partying. Yep. Woo, 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 woo.
Maybe you'll get your fireworks that you didn't get last time.
I better. So. I will. If it's open, I will have fireworks.
Yeah, when we went, so for the people listening, we're seeing Coldplay at Nissan Stadium here in Nashville. And when we went for like the fan experience for the Super Bowl, like we were very much getting rained on because it was open. So I'm assuming that they'll probably do their fireworks and all that stuff if they, you know, normally do it, because it was, we're definitely damp at the NFL thing.
If it rains, they will do it. I got my first time seeing Coldplay was in Chicago in Soldier Field, and it was like, I called it a hurricane in Chicago. It was the worst storm rolled in, and as long as it wasn't lightning, they would sing. But like, we missed the opening act and everything, and Coldplay only probably played like 8 songs. Mm. And they're like, okay, they're telling us we have to stop, but we wore our ponchos and we danced and we had the best time.
Yeah.
So rain or shine, Coldplay will play.
Well, we are actually going to Chicago this weekend. So I'm this weekend coming up. So I'm hoping that the weather is nice. We don't get any of those crazy Chicago, you know, hurricanes that you would experience there, anything like that. But this week is your week. You're bringing a case. I know we could sit here, Gabby, you know, all night without getting to the actual case. So what do you think? Should we just break it down, jump into what we're talking about this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, for sure.
On a warm July evening in 2018, 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts left her boyfriend's brother's house in Brooklyn, Iowa, to go for an evening run. It was a quiet town with just over 1,400 residents tucked into the farmland of central Iowa. Molly was home from the University of Iowa for the summer, where she was studying psychology, and was known for her upbeat personality. She was a dedicated student and a former high school cross-country runner who continued to enjoy her daily runs. That night, Molly was seen jogging through town around 7:30 p.m. She wore a bright pink sports top, black running shorts, and running shoes. Sadly, she never returned. And when Molly didn't show up for work the next day, her boyfriend, Dalton Jack, who was out of town for work, became worried. He reached out to family and friends hoping someone had heard from her, but no one had. Hours had passed and the concern deepened. On July 19th, Molly Tibbetts was reported missing. The search for Molly quickly became a national story. Volunteers and law enforcement combed fields, neighborhoods, and gravel roads. Local businesses displayed flyers and her family appeared in press conferences pleading for information. The FBI, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, and the local sheriff's departments joined forces in what became a high-profile manhunt. Investigators pursued every lead. They traced Molly's digital footprint, checking her cell phone records, her Fitbit data, and social media activity. The last known activity from her phone was a Snapchat sent to her boyfriend around 10 p.m. the night she vanished. The image showed her lying in bed smiling. But it wasn't until a homeowner turned over surveillance footage that the investigation made a critical breakthrough. In the footage, a black Chevy Malibu was seen driving back and forth along the same route that Molly had taken that night. The car passed by multiple times, appearing to circle her. Authorities tracked the vehicle to a nearby dairy farm, and the driver was 24-year-old Christian Bahena Riviera. Now, Riviera had lived in the area for several years and worked at Yarnaby Farms, owned by a prominent local family. He was undocumented, originally from Mexico, and went by the alias John Budd. Investigators brought him in for questioning on August 20, 2018. During an 11-hour interrogation, part of which was conducted without an attorney present, Riviera eventually admitted to following Molly in his car. According to his initial statement, he found her attractive and approached her while she jogged. When she threatened to call the police, he claimed to have blacked out in rage. Riviera said that when he came to, he discovered Molly's earbuds on his lap and her lifeless body in the trunk. He then led investigators to a secluded cornfield about 10 miles from where she vanished. On August 21st, more than a month after Molly had disappeared, her body was found hidden under stalks of corn. She had been stabbed multiple times in the chest, ribs, and neck. The body was partially decomposed, but the clothing and the Fitbit matched what Molly was wearing the night she disappeared. Her identity was later confirmed through dental records and DNA. Now, Riviera was charged with first-degree murder just hours after her body was recovered. His bond was set for $5 million cash. Public outrage erupted, fueled by the revelation of Riviera's undocumented status. Politicians seized on the case, with then-President Donald Trump and other officials using it to push for more stricter immigration policies. But Molly's family pushed back, asking the public not to politicize her death. In the months leading up to the trial, the case drew further controversy. Riviera pleaded not guilty. His defense argued that his confession had been coerced and they moved to suppress it, pointing out that much of the interview occurred without Miranda warnings and without an interpreter, despite Riviera's limited English proficiency. The judge allowed the confession to be used, setting the stage for trial. The trial began on May 17, 2021, in Scott County due to pretrial publicity. The prosecution leaned heavily on digital evidence, surveillance footage, and Riviera's confession. One key moment was the presentation of blood found in the trunk of his car. DNA testing confirmed that the blood matched Molly Tibbetts with odds of 1 in 100 billion that it belonged to anybody else. Riviera's cell phone data also placed him near the location of Molly's disappearance and the cornfield where she was found. But as the trial neared its conclusion, Riviera's story suddenly changed. In a dramatic turn on the witness stand, he testified that two masked men had approached him at his trailer in the early hours of July 19th. They forced him to drive them around at gunpoint and abduct Molly. He claimed that the men killed her and threatened him into silence. According to Riviera, he only led police to her body under duress, afraid for his family. The prosecution dismissed this as a desperate attempt to deflect guilt. They pointed out that Riviera had never mentioned these men in his initial confession and had never claimed to be threatened when he led officers to Molly's body. The jury agreed. And on May 28, 2021, after just 7 hours of deliberation, the jury found Christian Bahena Riviera guilty of first-degree murder. Before sentencing, his legal team filed a motion for a new trial, citing two witnesses who had recently come forward. These witnesses claimed to have overheard another man confess to killing Molly and stashing her in a trap house used for sex trafficking. The court delayed sentencing to investigate these claims, but ultimately found them to not be credible or directly connected to Riviera's case. The judge rejected the motion. On August 30th, 2021, Christian Bahena Riviera was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. This is the mandatory punishment for first-degree murder in the state of Iowa. He now resides at the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison. He's since appealed his conviction, arguing that his confession was improperly obtained and that the new witnesses warranted a new trial. In October of 2023, the Iowa Court of Appeals upheld his conviction, rejecting claims that the additional testimony would have changed the verdict.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If your car is out of warranty, one major repair bill could wipe you out. Just ask Ludacris.
Car breakdowns can wreck your wallet. Without endurance, a worn-out timing belt could cost you $1,700. A busted transmission? That's $4,000 easy. An engine meltdown? $7,000. But if you've got endurance, you could never pay out of pocket for a car repair again. With endurance, your car's most expensive parts are covered. Plus, you pick the mechanic you trust to do the work. With endurance, your rate stays the same no matter how many claims you file.
If your car is under 20 years old, Endurance has you covered with unlimited miles. Plus, your plan includes 24/7 roadside assistance anywhere in the country.
So who's going to pay for your next breakdown? You or Endurance?
Choose the name Ludacris Trusts. Endurance. Right now, get $300 off any plan, plus a year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free. All backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get your free quote at endurancewarranty.com. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The murder of Molly Tibbetts devastated her family, friends, and community. It launched one of the largest missing person searches in recent Iowa history and sparked intense national conversation about immigration, justice, and media coverage. But more than anything, it left a hole in the lives of those who loved Molly. Her father, Rob, later spoke out about how he didn't want Molly's memory used to fuel hate. He reminded the public that his daughter stood for inclusion, not division. And he said, "Know that she believed in the best of humanity. She was nobody's symbol. She was ours." So that's this week's case.
Man, this story kind of gets at me in a few different ways. You know, first of all, being a father and like your daughter's home from college and you live in this area where it's probably pretty safe for the most part. You know what I mean? It sounds like it's a small farming community. You know what I mean? Nothing crazy. 1,400 people. It's like everybody knows everybody, you know? So
what takes me back to my roots of sleeping with the windows open.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not locking your door.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, as crazy it is as it is that you do that, still
not here, but there.
You know, I'm sure it's still very easy to feel safe. You know what I mean? It's like nothing ever happens here until something does, you know? And so being a dad and just thinking about Molly's family and, you know, you're looking for your daughter for a month, you know what I mean? Like there's no signs, she just vanished. It's got to be absolutely heartbreaking. And then to see your kid politicized, to, you know, to see your kid be used to be like, well, this is why the other side isn't, you know, doing enough, or, you know, we need to do more. Like, whatever your stance on immigration is, you know, I know we have a lot of different listeners of a lot of different political backgrounds, and, you know, everybody believes what they believe because of the fact that, you know, either you were raised a certain way or you have your own life experience that has led you to, you know, feel passionately about things when it comes to politics and stuff like that. At the end of the day, in my personal opinion, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, this shouldn't be politicized. This shouldn't be, the death of someone's child should not be a tool for political gain. And so to think that not only was her family trying to deal with the loss of their daughter, you know, their family member, but now they're seeing her on TV and in political ads and things of that nature, it just adds like an extra, I don't know, it's like kind of gross. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, it is. I agree with that.
The other thing that I was thinking is she was found in these corn stalks. So, you know, I live here in Tennessee. There's a fishing spot that we'd like to go to. You know, I haven't been in a while, but at a certain time of the year, it's all corn. And like, you cannot get through it. You have to wait until, you know, they come and clear it all out, and then you can get back there. So to think that, you know, if Riviera hadn't been caught and wouldn't have led them to the body, like, it could have been months and months and months before anybody found her, you know? So,
oh yeah. Cause they don't even cut they don't harvest until like October, the corn. And then after that, once it's harvested, it's the Arctic tundra.
Right. And, you know, and then you just have to hope that, you know, if their body is left there, that there's enough of that body, you know, to be identified. And I will say, I don't get the like, oh, I just blacked out and her AirPods were on my lap. And then,
like the rage. And then the change of the story, like, oh, once he's found guilty, oh, wait, no, these men held me hostage. They made me do that. Well, where were they on the footage?
Yeah. Well, and that's defense team strategy. You know what I mean? That's just his legal defense being like, if we can cast any doubt on you and put a story out there that you were, you know, coerced into doing these things at gunpoint, if we can cast enough of a question of, even if it is possible that something like that would have happened, you know, because what, at that point, with the confession, with knowing where the body was, with having the blood in the car, having her AirPods, you're on footage, like near her.
Yeah. Everything is pointing towards you.
Yeah. You're going to take whatever swing you can swing from a legal defense, but.
Well, this one settles not so well with me. I have been that girl out on a run in rural Iowa when no one's around, and I've been alone. You know, that could have been anyone. It could have been any of my friends at any given time. Like, it's just unsettling to know that, yeah, you feel this, I guess I will say, a false sense of security living in a community that is so small and tight-knit, and, you know, nothing like this happens. And so you feel secure, you feel safe because, oh, your neighbors aren't going to do that. And then just to know that it does happen in these small towns and it can be anybody, you know, it's scary. I mean, I remember running out, and it's hilly and nice, but, you know, I lived in a more populated city, but it's not much, not real big, you know. And then you could go out of town and it's literally what you see, 1,400 people in this little community. So I don't know. It's just very unsettling to know that you can just go out there and run and just be attacked and murdered.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I always hear people be like, oh, yeah, it was a little town. I mean, it was just like Mayberry. You know what I mean? Talking about like the Andy Griffith, oh, this little town is just like, well, you know, Andy Griffith was the sheriff of Mayberry. Like there was still stuff. Even Mayberry had stuff going on. That's why there was a sheriff there, you know? So it's like, it's hard sometimes because we get into this routine or like you said, this like feeling of safety, you know, like I had that as a kid, you know, when we were kids, I barely, unless it was at night, I barely remember like locking our doors. Like our doors were open all day, you know, anybody could kind of come and go. And then, you know, the neighbor kid cut a guy's head off across the street. And then we were like, we should probably lock the doors. You know, it was like we all got house keys after that. But, you know, and Kara, being married to Kara, it's been, even if we're home, like doors are deadbolted. Like, you know, if we're just hanging out, like most of the time the curtains are closed or the blinds are drawn. It's like,
oh yeah, once my sun goes down and you can be a peeping Thomas looking in at me in the dark, my blinds are closed.
I love that.
All my doors are locked and I have one ear out recording this podcast so that I can hear the serial killer come upstairs.
I know. If I don't know if ever, I think we've probably mentioned it before, but it's been a long time. If you didn't know, Olivia always records this podcast with one of her headphones back behind her ear so she can hear anything that's going on in the house, which.
Yes, because it's up here. It's, you know, the air conditioner's back here. So it's like, I'm just far away from the entrance.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's this idea that we can feel so safe, but all it takes is just one person. You know
one
what I mean?
Person.
It takes one person to shatter all of that. And for you to realize that like, oh, you're not as safe as like you would like to think you are. Yeah. And that's hard to deal with, you know?
Yep. Well, if we're talking deadbolt, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I think this one, it really irks me in a couple of different ways. So for me, this is going to fall at an 8 on the deadbolt test. I think first and foremost, from a parent standpoint, right? Like you've got this amazing kid. They're going to school. They're working on their degree by all accounts. Like everybody loves them. You're happy to have them home. You know, from a parent's perspective, like that's what you hope for, right? Like you hope that your kid just grows up to be a good person, somebody that, you know, other people enjoy being around. They know how to treat people. They know how to work hard. And then to have that just snatched away at such a young age, just for going out for a run in a place that by all accounts should be one of the safest places in America, you know, for her to go out on a run. Like Molly should have been safe that night. And if it wasn't for Riviera, you know, she would have been. The other thing that, again, really grosses me out about this is the way that it's politicized and how this kid, you know what I mean? Like she's like 20. You know what I mean? She's still a kid. Something terrible happens to her. Yes. And do we have problems with our immigration system? Yes. Do those problems need to be fixed? Yes. Does the murder of this child need to be used to push a candidate or agenda? Absolutely not. And we see the same thing, like, you know, with the Lake and Riley. Like that's, you know, you hear that a lot, like when it's talking about immigration and stuff like that. And even Lakin's parents were like, hey, like, we're angry. Don't politicize my child's death. And so, and again, I know we have people on both sides of the aisle, but it's just, you know, it's like, it's just, it, either side that you're on, I think it's just a little like kind of, it irks me a little bit. You know what I mean? So that would be my two big things about it that really get under my skin. So I'd put this at an 8, but what about you? Where's it falling for you?
You know, I'm going to put this one at a 9. I just see myself in her, a young, vibrant, young 20s, living in a rural community, just going out and enjoying the seasons that Iowa has to offer and setting out for a run and just knowing that any moment you can be attacked like that and your life just taken. Just, it's very unsettling. I agree with everything you said about not politicizing her, you know, and just remembering that this is a young woman who lost her life. And I agree with all the immigration things that you said and, you know, whatnot. But, you know, I just see myself in her and it's just devastating to know that that can happen. So I'm going to put it at a 9.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And I think for me, it's like, if you are Molly Tibbetts' parents, like, does it hurt less if the person who did it was a documented immigrant? You know what I mean? Does it like, you know, and I like I said, like, I think on both sides of the aisle, if you're using something like this to push any kind of agenda or to, like, you know, score points for your team, maybe be better than that, whether, you know, wherever you fall. Like I said, I know we have a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds who believe a lot of different things who are lucky enough that we're able to call them part of this family. We're lucky enough to be able to call them part of the family here. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in that because there's, you know, not a lot of places on the internet where, you know, a lot of people from different backgrounds can come and be part of a group, and doesn't really matter, you know, where you fall on that. And so, you know, again, I don't say that to offend anybody or anything of that nature. I just, you know, regardless of the side, like, don't use a tragedy like this to try to dunk on the other team, because it's a bad look.
Word
indeed. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia's coming in at a 9. I'm giving it an 8. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Molly Tibbett fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, well, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us, as we've been talking about through this whole episode. We have an amazing community. We would absolutely love you to be part of it. And Olivia, I know we love hearing from our listeners. I just got to ask you, do we have a Spotify comment, a Apple review? What do we got this week?
I mean, it's been a while, but this week we have a Spotify review that's actually really cool. Awesome. I say cool. It's not cool, but it is cool. So this one's from Thursday Short on Time that you did on Teresa Joanne Peroni that went missing on July 3rd, 1983. Does that ring a bell? We just did it last week.
Yeah, that was Thursday Short on Time. It was called Vanished in the Pines. And if I remember correctly, it was Teresa Peroni. She went missing on July 3rd of 1983. At the time, she had been at a party and got into an argument with her boyfriend, Mark. And the two of them walked off into the woods arguing. And unfortunately, Teresa never came back. So I know it took like 42 years, but eventually Mark Sanfratello was indicted and arrested and charged after new DNA was found and tested and, you know, proved that he was the one who had done it. So, yeah, it was a very interesting case and, you know, took a long time to solve.
Yeah, well, our Spotify comment came from Molly, who's one of our listeners, and she said, "She is my dad's sister. I'm so glad there is finally an arrest made after 42 years. So yeah. When I go back to say that the comment's cool, it's cool to have, you know, someone involved in one of the cases that we covered. See, you know, we see the justice that is being served for this family. So thank you, Molly, for leaving us this comment.
Yeah, Molly, thank you so much. I know one of the big things that we kind of talked about towards the end of that episode was, you know, the fact that we really did hope that, you know, Teresa's family and her friends got closure. And, you know, hopefully that this did that for your dad. You know, again, I know losing a loved one is never easy, especially if it's a, you know, a sibling. And I'm sure that it's been hard for your dad for a long time. So, you know, really hoping that in some, even if it's the smallest way, just having that definitive answer now has helped there. And thank you for listening and for being willing to share that. And, you know, I know it's got to be kind of vulnerable to, you know, just put a Spotify comment out there like that. So we really do appreciate it. And thank you so much for letting us know that. It really means a lot. And Olivia, you know, again, we love to hear from our listeners any way that we can. Obviously, we read Spotify comments and things of that nature. We also love those 5-star Apple Podcast reviews. So if somebody wants to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 of those stars, click all 5, and leave us a little review and tell us what you think.
That's right. And Olivia always says it best so that I don't have to. It's Apple Podcasts. Leave those reviews. We'd love to read them. If you need a link on how to do that, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to now. And if you already left us one of those reviews, again, just know that we appreciate you so much. It does help us get into other shows' recommendations. And we've noticed that a lot of new people are finding the show, and it's those reviews that are helping. So we just want you to know we really appreciate it if you have left a review. And if not, we'd love to hear what you think. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate commercials, then Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, help us keep the lights on, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, and sharing this show with your friends, your family, the people who are important to you means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're telling people to check it out. Again, you know, we're just looking to get new people in the family and to continue to grow. And you telling people to listen is the best way to do that. So if you're sharing this in any way, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.